That's Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, coming in the form of an updated federal indictment. And Israel is on high alert for an escalation with Hezbollah after one of the top leaders of the Palestinian Hamas was killed in a drone strike in Beirut. On Wall Street, the Dow down 215 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Thank you for continuing with the show. As I stated at the beginning of the show, I am hosting for Dr. Youngblood today, and I have on many occasions in the past. I'm Mike Hill from Pensacola, Florida. I own a small business and insurance agency and have been doing that for over 33 years now. And before that, I was active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served in the Florida State House, the legislature, from 2013 to 2020. And I understand we have a caller on the line, Derby. Hello, my friend. What is your question or comment, please?
Okay, my comments are concerning everything you said. It's all well and good, I agree, but I am not too optimistic about the 2024 election. Because
Why
GOP
that,
accepts the fraud. They do not care on... as long as they get elected. An example is in Florida. Rubio and Scott, they never said that there was election fraud. Carrie Lake, we all know that she won. There was fraud, but the GOP has not said one word on her behalf. So it's like a waste of time. And it is not a matter of how many of us vote. We all do, but how are those votes counted? And who is allowed to vote? How easy it is to register and cheat when you register to vote? That is something that has got to be addressed nationwide. And concerning
now, Derby,
the Jacksonville...
Derby, you raise a good point. However,
memorial. Let me finish and I'll be through
Derby,
here. City Council
Derby,
complains
hold on just for a sec.
In Jacksonville,
Derby, hold on,
but nothing
sec.
Happens. So what's the
Derby,
use?
Derby, hold on just for a sec. You raise a very good issue. You raise a very excellent point of the election fraud that we see taking place right before our eyes. However, Governor Ron DeSantis says that in Florida, elections are free and fair and secure. Do you agree with that assessment?
They are better than in most states, but not 100% secure and open and all that. There are local supervisors of elections that do as they please in Florida.
So that's there is more work to be done in Florida to ensure election integrity. Granted, that's true. Now, what you're saying on a nationwide level is that we're in trouble. Is that right?
Yes.
And it's because of the fraud that we saw taking place in the past, and you believe they're going to repeat it again.
I am sure they will try it and succeed, because so far they have not been held accountable for the fraud, so they continue to commit fraud. If you break the law and you don't get punished, you continue breaking the law. And concerning Trump, they say, oh, you cannot be vindictive, or you cannot hold Democrats accountable. Well, if you do not, they will continue to commit fraud. So maybe vindictive is not the word, but it's got to be that they are held accountable and punished. You have to punish the wrongdoers, but we never punish the Bidens or Clinton or Obama, and it is a proven fact they have hurt the country, but nothing happens to them. So the GOP, to me, is a piece of crap, because they don't fight for us. They are complicit with the Democrat Party, period. Most of them, not all, but most of them, yes.
Well, I agree with you, Derby. You raised such an important point, in that the Republicans will not go after the Democrats who have cheated, who are doing wrong. They just seem to be silent. As you say, we saw what happened to Carrie Lake in Arizona, and Republicans were mostly silent about it. And I think one reason for that is because they only care about one thing, their own next election. Will it get them elected? And they think that by remaining silent, they won't draw attention towards them, where a lot of opposition will come against them for their next election.
I agree.
Well, Derby, thank you for the call. Thank you so much for joining us here on Let's Face the Issue. And if anyone else would like to call in and join the conversation, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let's switch gears just a little bit. I recently came across an article in The Guardian, which was written by a Jeff Ernst, which shed a whole new light for me on what we're seeing in this crisis of an invasion coming across our southern border. And this was fascinating to me. A plane was detained in France that sheds light on Nicaragua's role in the U.S. invasion crisis. This is what the article says. The detention in France of a charter plane, this is a charter plane, bound for Nicaragua, has renewed attention on the Central American nation's role as a springboard for migrants from across the world seeking to make their way to the United States. The flight, which left the United Arab Emirates on the 21st of December with 303 passengers of Indian nationality, it was grounded during a refueling stop after an anonymous tip-off alleging human trafficking. The passengers, however, were not being trafficked against their will, but rather attempting, the author here says migrate, but I'm going to use the word invade. Nicaragua is the closest country connected by land to the United States that does not impose strict entry requirements upon citizens of many nations who are barred from flying to other destinations without a visa. Now, while some countries have imposed visa requirements upon certain nationalities upon pressure from Washington, and I would say if you're talking about the Biden regime, that pressure is nil to nothing. Experts say that the Nicaraguan president, Daniel Ortega, has taken a contrarian approach in an attempt to weaponize migration and force negotiations over sanctions imposed on members of his inner circle. Did you get that, ladies and gentlemen? Here it is. The president of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, has taken a contrary approach from Washington, D.C., saying that there are visa requirements. Instead, what he is doing intentionally is to weaponize migration and force negotiations over sanctions imposed not on his country, but on members of his inner circle. The article goes on to say, Ortega is being very astute by playing with what hurts the United States the most, says Ana Maria Mendez, Director for Central America at the Washington Office on Latin America, referring to the current migrant crisis and the political liability it represents for President Joe Biden heading into the 2024 election. It's like pouring alcohol on an open wound. Well, the thing is, if Joe Biden wants to stop this political liability, he can do it. All he has, he can have it stopped in a day, but he's not because of the overall objective that the Democrats and the world globalists have of invading America with all of these illegal aliens who are coming into our country. In 2014, as another migrant crisis boiled over, Nicaragua imposed visa requirements on Cuban citizens to help stem the flow of migrants heading to the U.S. border. But since then, relations between the two countries have deteriorated due to Ortega's rigging of the 2021 election and a slew of human rights abuses. This is too rich. This is amazing. So with this, Jeff Ernst of The Guardian, what he is saying is that the relations between U.S. and Nicaragua have deteriorated because Ortega's rigging of the 2021 election. The same thing that Joe Biden and his regime did in 2020. And so they're saying because of that deteriorating relationship between the U.S. and Nicaragua, that right now Ortega is using this to hurt Joe Biden. And following political upheaval in Cuba during the summer of 2021, Ortega rescinded the visa requirements for Cuban citizens. And the charter flights, get this, charter flights from the island began soon after as a sort of escape valve for the Cuban government, which would rather see people leave than protest in the streets. So here is Cuba sending people protesting in the streets on charter flights to Nicaragua, which has softened their visa requirements so people can come into their country. And then from there, they are able to head towards Mexico and then eventually towards the United States. I see we have a caller on the line. Let's see. It looks like we have Jose. Jose, yes, what is your question or comment, please?
I mean, it's so upsetting, you know what I mean? Listen to what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. We have been to Cuba with our church like four times. And every time you got to go to Cuba, which nobody wants to live there, everybody's fleeing that island, the Cuban Interest Office in D.C., they require you to apply for the entrance visa, they call it. And we have to submit all those papers 3 months before. And it's up to the communist government in Cuba to give us the visa or not. But yet, they want to come here, and they want to come, and they don't require anything. How crazy is what's going on, brother? This is so upsetting. And I can't stand when they hear asylum seekers. Those are asylum fakers, all of them. Because right. There's no way. I hear a lawyer talking about this, and he said that if they are really seeking for asylum, they have to apply for the next country that they flee from. These people are coming from Africa. They're coming from Mongolia. They're coming from Russia. Don't tell me that the borderline country is the U.S. But, yeah, they know the how to, you know, they are being coached. They lie to the immigration officer. And the clown that we had in the White House with all the Democrats, they're now mine. And they know what's going on. And I'm pretty sure, but I'm telling you, In 2-3 years, they're going to start whining and crying. Oh, those are poor dreamers. We had to take them out of the shadows, and we got to help them. That's the end game here. They know we're with the people here in this country that is being informed. We don't buy the Democrats' lies anymore. They are enemies within. So they need a new group of voters, and they know exactly what they're doing. But what gets to me is the conservatives, they don't do anything about it. They are completely silent, and I wonder, wait a minute, at least you need to say something. You need to educate the people. You need to tell them what's going on. Have you seen the hearings in Chicago, in the city halls? The black community is, wait a minute, they're waking up. They already told the Republicans, we need to talk. We want you to come here and talk to us. Why they don't have people speaking the language of the law-abiding people in this country? The people need to know what's going on. Somebody needs to educate them. If you leave it up to the media, oh, no, poor people, they are asylum seekers, they are a bunch of liars, all of them. They don't tell you the truth. They need to come out with a message, educate their community. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what's going to happen. This is unsustainable. We cannot, you know, agree with this. But I don't know what's, I want to ask you, brother, why do you think that the Republicans are so timid and so cowards to speak boldly and educate the people that is watching this invasion done by illegals and agree and applauded by the Democrats? Do you have any idea why the Republicans are so silent on this topic? Why they don't have press conferences educating the people as to what's going on? That's my question.
Hey, Jose, thank you for the phone call. Thank you so much for expressing your comments. And I agree with you 100%, everything you said. And in terms of answering your question, why are the Republicans so silent? Why are they so timid on this issue? I think, again, if you're looking at our elected officials, it is because they are more concerned about their next election than they are of anything else. Instead of representing we the people, and instead of doing their duty of living up to their oath of office to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. They don't care about that. But now, most people, most Americans are vehemently against this invasion that we are seeing. But we have this Democrat-controlled media which will silence, will not give ear to anyone who tries to raise a voice against this invasion which we are seeing. Now, Jose, you were just able to voice your opinion, which I greatly appreciate, and on this radio station, which I greatly appreciate Dr. Youngblood for allowing me the host, because I'm sure he would have also done the same thing, and we must continue to speak out against what we see happening at our this invasion of the United States. You know, and in this article, we're talking about how Cuba had chartered flights that were coming to Nicaragua, which is the closest country to Mexico. And so they would then get to that country, move into Mexico, and eventually make their way into the United States. Now, here's the interesting part of this article as it continues to go on. Eventually, people from other nations, such as Haiti, followed suit in order to shorten their journey to the United States and avoid the treacherous Darien Gap route along Panama's southern border. And due to frosty relations with Ortega, the Biden administration has attempted to work around the Nicaraguan government to halt the charter flights filled with migrants as they come from increasingly far away. Now, note this. On October 30th, the government of Haiti enacted a ban on charter flights to Nicaragua, which in the previous 3 months had transported roughly 30,000 people. As a result, the number of Haitians traveling north by land through Honduras dropped dramatically in November. I can remember when all of the Haitians were coming to the border, across the Mexican border. And you wonder, how on earth did they get to Mexico from Haiti? No, that's a long distance. And now we know there were charter flights that were flying these people into Nicaragua, and then they would make their trek up into the United States. So in October, the Haitian government put a ban on these charter flights. And then on the 21st of November, the State Department announced a new visa restriction policy targeting owners, executives, and senior officials of companies. These are companies, not governments, providing charter flights into Nicaragua designed for use primarily by irregular migrants to the United States. In other words, illegal aliens, invaders. Several charter companies stopped flights, but some were apparently undeterred. That included Legend Airlines, based in Romania, which earlier this month sent the first direct flight from Europe to Nicaragua in years and was responsible for the plane being detained in France. The flight from France was ultimately rerouted to India, minus two passengers who were held for further investigation, and 25 others who decided to request asylum instead of return to their home country. So on this flight that Romania chartered this flight, it started in United Arab Emirates, landed in France. France was going to send it back to India, but two passengers said were held for further investigation, and 25 others said, well, we'll just stay in France. So India has launched its own investigation into the flight, which passengers, get this, reportedly paid between $48,000 and $150,000 to board. So here are these charter companies. This has become big business to them, where these people are paying $48,000 to $150,000 per person to get on these flights to fly to Nicaragua, which will let them in, which will then allow them to travel through Mexico, which will allow this invasion to continue. And they all say it is to put pressure on the Biden administration, relations had soured because Ortega cheated in his election in 2021. You can't make this up. That is amazing. Meanwhile, flights from Cuba continue to arrive in Managua via an airline owned by the Venezuelan government, which is seemingly unconcerned about sanctions, but is also engaged in its own set of negotiations with the White House after relations have been severed during the administration of former President Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as you recall, ladies and gentlemen, essentially stopped the invasion across the border and had severed relations with Venezuela. But now Venezuela is trying to restart the relationship, and they are in negotiation with the White House right now about continuing these charter flights from these other countries. On social media, supposed travel agencies advertise flights on a Venezuelan airline from Havana to Managua for about $1,500, as well as all-inclusive packages for $4,000 and up that includes services such as transport to Mexico, meals, lodging, and even assistance with navigating the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's CBP, the Customs Border Protection's One app, which is used by migrants to, among other things, make appointments to apply for asylum. We have craziness going on with this Biden regime right now. The airlines and travel agencies that are facilitating this are the new coyotes. They're making money, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why these people are coming to the United States. It's because of money. And as Jose called in earlier and said, it is because the Democrat Party needs a new round of voters who will vote for them, because once you get here, some are seeking opportunity to start a business. I get that. Some are. But they know in the back of their mind that should they fail, the United States is going to give them free food, free housing, free medical care, and free education. So they come and they know that that is the Democrat Party tagline. We are going to give you this free stuff, even though it isn't free. We taxpayers are paying for that. And so they come here with the thought of, I can be taken care of in the United States much better than I can be taken care of practically anywhere else in the world. So they are coming here in droves. And not only are they coming here, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening in Europe also. They are leaving the Middle East. They're leaving the African nations. They're leaving India. And they are heading into the European countries right now. And Russia is using that as a weapon and sending them into Finland. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We are in perilous times right now, but don't be afraid. God is still on the throne. Have a blessed day. It's been great speaking with you.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder,